So my topic today is on fatigue, fatigability, and mortality risk among older adults. I have no financial relationships to disclose. I wish I had. Okay, a little bit of background. I mean, fatigue is sort of your everyday, you know, we all, well, hopefully by now, a whole lot experience. You know, it's a daily occurrence. It's a highly correlated with age, and it's a prevalent clinical complaint with sometimes defined, but most of the time is sort of a non-defined symptom. Okay, so why are we interested in fatigue? Well, it turns out one of our sort of cross-sectional descriptive studies show that the prevalence of fatigue is pretty high. I mean, depending on the kind of population you're interested in, it ranges anywhere from 15 in some younger population to obviously around 30%, and a little bit higher among female middle-aged and older adults. What's interesting is really the recognition during the past decade or so that the specific symptoms related to performing daily activities and feeling of fatigue is sort of recognized as potentially a precursor for disability. So that's really caught clinical as well as public health professionals' interest. So basically, the current literature suggests it's correlated with, over time in cohort studies and onset of morbidity, disability, mortality, as well as higher level of healthcare use. So a recent study done by researchers at the NIA actually hypothesized that perhaps fatigue is this key energy indicator that signals the imbalance of homeostasis. Sort of early warning signal, if you will. So that remains to be tested, actually. But clearly, it's linked to a lot of adverse outcomes, specifically about mobility and cardiovascular system functioning. So what we're here trying to do is to understand, since it's a subjective measure, right, while it has the feasibility in terms of, the best indicator is actually ask the patient, do you feel fatigue? But obviously, there's a whole literature I won't get into in terms of measuring at the physical level, right, as well as the mental, because you could be mentally, physically capable, yet mentally fatigued. So today, I'm going to focus on the self-reported fatigue symptom in relation to the kind of activity that they're engaging in, because if you think about it, right, for especially among older adult population, they could be sort of certain behaviors to adaptive, right? So in other words, when they're not going to be running marathons. So that way they don't, trigger. So I'll sort of go more into that after I show you the research study. So the objective of this presentation is to examine the role of fatigue and fatigability. By that I mean the reported symptom as a function of physical activity level, right? Whether they're active, not active, among a sample of U.S. older adults 51 and over. So data I used is the longitudinal data from HRIS, Health and Retirement Study. It's also interesting to mention that there is actually quite a number of sister studies in European country, now more recently in China, as I sort of presented yesterday in an international symposium. But hopefully that the similar structure and questions will enable sort of more future research in terms of cross-national comparison. So we used the 04 public use data file. The year is really, because it's fairly recent, and it has a expanded cohort that includes the early baby boomers. So the sample size is around 11,000. Because of the small sample size in underweight, because we know underweight is predictive of higher mortality, we kind of have to exclude this small group of people. So the dependent variable is using the time until death measured in a month or days. And as of last year, December. So they either experience the outcome, which is death, or they remain alive and that thus been censored. So we control, well, obviously the key variable here is the fatigue symptom. So we used two questions to measure the fatigue symptom, you know, sort of during the past week. So it's kind of short term, short duration, right? Transient. Everything you did was an effort and you could not get going. Those who answer yes on either question are classified as having fatigue symptoms. And a similar study using this measure have shown linkage to mobility disability. The second thing is sort of related to fatigability, right? Physical activity level. So questions regarding the type and frequency type of questions were asked. To really try to simplify this whole, you know, measure, we've decided to follow the IPAC guideline of questionnaire. Obviously, ideally, you want to measure MET, and, you know, the energy expenditure to get a true, you know, sort of objective measure. But here, based on this self-reported data, we combine type and frequencies and classify them into high, medium, low in terms of physical activity levels. And then we control for socio-demographics and economic correlates, as well as physical, cognitive, and mental health variables. Behavior and lifestyle, obviously, is important, as we all know here. So basically, I'm going to present you with some descriptive statistics, and then I'm going to show you the Cox proportional hazard model. We ran the stratified model by age group, self-rated health, and BMI to address the issue of proportional hazards assumption. So baseline, the mean age was 68, you know, range of 51 to 108. So a little over half were female, 83% white. HRS is the nice thing about it is oversamples minorities. So, and by applying the sample weight, obviously you get sort of nationally representative estimates. 9% black and 6% Hispanics. And these are not overlapping, so non-Hispanic, black, and Hispanics. 62% either married or partnered, and 13% in poverty as measured in 04, and 12% had ADL, at least one ADL, and 45% had IADL. And 15% had mobility disability, difficulty. 26% rated health as fair or poor. So, and 40% overweight was sort of consistent with other, you know, national estimates from NHANES and et cetera. 25% considered obese. So when you're thinking about 51 plus, right, this is really a tremendous sort of a public health challenge in terms of which by now we all sort of we're aware of. 16% smokers and 37% use alcohol, which will show you how that turned out in terms of mortality. So overall, well, consistent with the earlier estimate, 32% of sample report, you know, fatigue syndrome, so no surprise there. And importantly, you know, 48% at low PA physical activity level. So 25% at moderate level and 27% at high. Although I got this sort of a note of caution that due to the number of questions and the way it's measured, right, the high, you know, may not be as high as you would expect in like a general population. Okay, so first, in terms of observed non-parametric estimate, Kaplan-Meier, you know, survival curve by level of physical activity. So I reclassified the three level into just, you know, low versus medium high, because as I mentioned, there might be some concern in terms of medium high, but low is pretty, you know, distinctive. And we also actually in the model tested both cases. So clearly the red line is the group with fatigue at 04, right? So follow up for 6 years. And clearly, well, if you're reporting fatigue without controlling for anything, right, that tend to be associated with higher mortality. Clearly, Not surprisingly, that physical activity is associated with the sort of a less steep in terms of mortality experience. Now, what happens if we control for covariates? Oh, I got a couple more slides by age, right? Because obviously age could play a big role in terms of... So what I did is I did, for each age group, I did a four combination, right? You have physical activity level, yes or and then whether or not you experience the fatigue level, right? So low versus moderate, medium, high. So I stay sort of a, you know, middle age group, while there's still some trend that if you're this one is low, so the lowest one, the highest sort of mortality experience was observed among low physical activity fatigue. So this is probably, you know, correlated with the chronic condition. You know, if you're not moving around that much, and you're still feeling a fatigue, that means something, you know, is probably going on. So it's sort of, and the next group, and it's fairly close. So and. I wouldn't go read too much into it. Okay, so by the next sort of 10-year age range, you see the departure of this, right, low physical activity and feeling fatigued. So again, whereas the middle two is moderate to high physical activity and fatigue, fairly close. So clearly, if you're experiencing no fatigue and being moderately active, you're doing better, which is, you know, as expected. And similar patterns that were observed, although compared to the earlier age 60 group, the middle two got reversed. So now the moderate high, so if you're still moderately active and feeling fatigue is not that, you know, sort of a big of a deal. And then finally 80 plus is pretty clear as we expected, right? The second group's been more active and fatigued. Okay, so what happens when we adjust for covariates? As you see, we have a fairly sort of comprehensive set. So presented here is hazard ratio and 95% confidence interval associated with p-value. Cancer, obviously, right, as expected. Number of chronic conditions, the more chronic conditions you have, so that hopefully it's taken care of. And then a combined measure of AD and IAD, or activities of daily living, instrumental activity of daily living. The marital status doesn't seem to be a major factor. And interestingly enough, right, I think this is reported in the literature that it could be due to a survival effect among minorities. So while we do see a disproportional disease burden among, you know, the general minority population, when you look at mortality, oftentimes you'll be surprised that it was associated with the, you know, less mortality, sort of resilience as well as survival effect. Because by the time a minority reaches the 70s or 80s, that's sort of kind of exceptional compared to their regular cohort. And cognition is sort of a reverse coded, so better cognition is protected against mortality. Past smoker, right, 40%, 39%, so I think it will be interesting to this audience. Whereas current smoker, 83%. So again, right, for this cohort of people, there's clearly a big effect even for, you know, past smokers. And then what's interesting is that while the moderate alcohol use is not significant, heavy alcohol use seems to be associated with lower mortality. I couldn't make up anything, so I appreciate any sort of comments from you later on. And fatigue symptom is associated with 12%. Now, this is kind of misleading because we have the interaction term, right? So when you do have interaction term, you can read off the p-value. So what we did basically is first we enter the fatigue and moderate high level PA without the interaction. At that point, both fatigue associated with higher mortality, while physical activity level associated with lower. Now, as I mentioned, we want to study the effect of fatigability based on their level, so that's why we interact with that. And then that changes the relationship. Okay, so to sort of facilitate interpretation, this graph shows you the adjusted hazard ratio based on the groups, right? So we've seen this, the non-parametric survival curve. This one is sort of adjusted for covariates. So the basically, the lowest risk is moderate high physical activity, no fatigue symptoms. So they're sort of, you know, pretty robust. The next group is same, right? Physical activity. Whereas the next higher group is substantially higher, you know, 79% increase in hazard ratio. It's a low level, but they don't experience the fatigue. So it's sort of consistent with the non-parametric, non-adjusted results. Okay, so in summary, fatigue and lower physical activity levels remain independently associated with higher risk mortality. But more to the point of this presentation, if fatigue and mortality is modified by physical activity. So there are a number of limitations. First, the measurement of fatigue since the secondary data analysis is sort of non-generic. So like a fatigue symptom scale or a more, you know, comprehensive measure will certainly help. But I think the results will hold. And being the fact that it was a two-question sort of a right measure, we don't know the duration, how long, or, you know, is that transient, intensity? So it needs to be further examined using better measures. And personal physical activity is based on self-report. Again, it would be better to have a more accurate measure. And other health outcomes, in addition to mortality, is not examined. It could be that, you know, in addition to mortality, there could be other differences. Okay, to conclude my presentation, we believe that fatigue symptoms really represent an independent mortality risk among mid-age and older adults. And the effect vary by age, and it tend to support the hypothesis that perhaps toward the oldest group, there are, and people with mobility limitations, there could be pacing, you know, self-adjustment to alleviate the symptom so they don't trigger the fatigue symptom. And as I said, the lower physical activity level may be an adaptive response. So to the extent that that's already been understood, but more importantly, in terms of public health practice and policies, perhaps we should be collecting these type of data for mid-age and older adults early on, right? So we'll be able to see, and in relation to the health promotion and promotion of these activities, what their responses are, and then how do we sort of devise interventions to help hopefully early identify, as well as recognizing that if they do become physically active and they have a feeling of fatigue, then there may be a cause for physical exam or things like that to rule out potential problems. Well, with that, I conclude my presentation. Thank you very much.